Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. I was reading this week again, one that I've told you about before, and some of you already know it, that God says, the heaven is the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. If God wanted us to be on Mars, he'd put us there. Now you're going to say, you're old fogey. Well, the Bible says, the earth hath he given to the children of men. One day we're going to heaven, and we have that beautiful experience before us. But let's remember that God rules in the heavens and the earth. Let's look in Lamentations now, if you would. I'll give you just a second to turn. Lamentations, just following the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote the book of Jeremiah and also the book of the Lamentations. So this is still the prophet of God is writing. In this chapter, the third chapter, I want you to notice verse number 23. Let's start with 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. I want you to notice, he is faithful, and he's faithful with his compassions. Now the verse I really want you to notice is this one. They are new every morning. The mercies and compassions of the Lord are new every morning. The psalmist says, the mercies of the Lord are fresh every morning. God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace, and he's a God of faithfulness. Now notice what he says. They are new every morning, and then he says, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is my portion. He's your portion. Let us pray. Father, have your way in the word, breaking of the word this morning. I pray for wisdom and anointing, that you would give me insight. Let me say what you want me to say, and only that. And I pray that you'd give us all open hearts and minds. And Lord, those here who may be going through battles and problems and struggles, I pray that something might be said today. The Holy Spirit might move, and may something be said that would touch that heart or those hearts and lives who need it most. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, and in the way of a question. Is God faithful? Is God faithful? Have you experienced his faithfulness? You know, some of us have been saved a long time. A long time. Some were saved just as children, maybe almost as babies. But we have experienced over the decades, over the long period of time, God's faithfulness. If you've not been saved too long, you may not yet have really experienced, by going through troubles and trials and tribulations, the faithfulness of God. But you will in time, because God's word teaches us that God is faithful. Not only does it teach us that God's word is faithful, God proves that he is faithful. He proves that he is faithful. And in this reading today, we're going to look at that thought. The weeping prophet who wrote that, who is Jeremiah, he found the lowest point of one's life can become the place for the richest revelation of God. The lowest place in one's life can be the richest part of finding God and the way God moves and the way God ministers to the individual. Now, I think perhaps this old prophet was, you know, he's known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah cried a lot. He wept a lot. He wept over the sins of Jerusalem. He wept over the sins of Israel and Judah, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. He wept over those. At one time, you remember, we hear it called Israel. Israel included the 12 tribes of Israel, but there were many, many years, several hundred years, that they were the divided kingdom of the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. And this old prophet wept when he saw the sins of the nation, when he saw what people were doing, how they were offering their children up to Moloch, a foreign god, and burning their kids upon the altar before a foreign god. God looked at that, and his heart was broken, and he became disturbed, and he was mad, and he said, "There will be judgment that will come." And God had certain individuals, prophets as we call them, seers some call them, who were faithful to warn, and they were faithful to cry against the sins of the people. And as you read, especially as you read the prophets, and I've been spending a lot of time reading the prophets from Isaiah right on through to Malachi over the last year, and I'm finding these prophets crying out, saying, "Oh, repent, Israel, repent. Israel, get back to God. God is faithful and merciful, and He will forgive and will cleanse you of your sins. God is a God who loves you. If you'll just return unto the Lord, God says He will forgive you all of your sins." And this prophet, we find that during this time, whenever he was writing this, and the time when Jerusalem was about to be destroyed, he described the horrors of the attack and the siege of his holy beloved city Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And I was reading that just this morning in Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter, and so he was describing this and saying how that the king of Babylon had come up and had come against Jerusalem and had set an army all around the walls of Jerusalem and set forts up all around there. For 2 years, people were closed in this city of Jerusalem, this old city, and they got hungry, they got desperate, there was nothing to eat. There was no way to make a living. There was no one to whom they can turn. Now they were being, by God, they were being turned over to a foreign country. God said, "You'll spend 70 years. You'll spend decades in a foreign land." And as this great prophet looked around and he saw this, his heart was broken. What can one do in a difficult time when his heart is sick and his faith is weak? What is Jeremiah to do when he's done everything in warning the people of Israel and it did no good? What was this man, this weeping prophet, supposed to do? I was reading at one point where they put him down in the pit because he cried out against the sins of Israel, against the sins of the king, and they put him down in a pit below the gate of the entry of the city, and they left him down there, and he was in mud up to his waist, way up to his loins. For a long time he was down there because he simply tried to warn the people that God was going to bring judgment if they didn't repent of their sins. And now, here he is, his heart is broken and his heart is sick and his faith is weak. And here he is. And I want to ask you this morning, when you've gone through the most troubling, the most trying, the most difficult times of your life, what is one to do? Where does one turn? Sometimes it seems that you've prayed and you've prayed and you've sought God and you've asked God, "God, what can I do? What am I supposed to do?" And it seems maybe that the heavens are brass. You don't get an answer. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, Pastor Barron has been there. I've been there when I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I've sought God and I've asked God for leadership and for wisdom. And you know, I learned a long, long, long time ago, if I don't get an answer today from God, just stay steady. If you don't hear from God this week, don't go doing something rashly. Don't go doing something off of the top of your head and making some foolish decision that next month you'll turn around and would to God you'd never made that decision. Would to God you'd never married that individual, or you'd never quit your job, or you'd never been harsh to your kids and run the son or the daughter away from home. Some decision that you made and you'll wonder why God, can I not hear from you? I found, and I was telling my wife not long ago, I said, you know, in times like these, when you've done all that you know to stand, what do? You just stand. And you watch the faithfulness of God. Because God is faithful. And that's what we're looking at this morning. He is a faithful God. Jeremiah caught a glimpse of God's great faithfulness in our text. Hope came, and he declared, "Great is thy faithfulness." Now, folks, let me tell you something this morning. Here this man is who was mistreated. You know, most of the prophets were killed by the people of Israel. I mean, they would stone them to death, or first one way or another, they would stone the prophets because they told them the truth. And the truth was that they need to repent of their sins and get back to God and right with God. No wonder Jesus, when he was looking out over the walls of old Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and he said, "Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest those who come unto you, how often would I have gathered you unto myself as a hen doth her brood, but you would not let me." You wouldn't come. You wouldn't let me help you. You wouldn't let me console you. I'm telling you this morning, church, God is still saying to you this morning, if you'll just let me, I will show you my faithfulness. I will show you my love. If you'll just stand when you don't know what to do, if you'll just put your foot down on the ground and make a stand, God's saying, I see that stand. I see that need in your life. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to say. You don't know which way to turn, but I'm going to prove my glory to you. Yes, let's worship God together. Come on. God is a very faithful God. His faithfulness is fresh every morning. His mercies are fresh every morning. And he knows how to lift up the fallen. He knows how to supply the needs for the needy. If you're faithful to God and you're true to God and you are faithful with your tithes and your prayers and your offerings and coming to church, God knows just where you are. And he promised that his kids would never go begging. I want to say that again. God's kids are not beggars. Our Father is the King. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Creator of the universe. We don't have to be beggars. We just have to come to God and talk to him. He's our Father. He's the one that we bring our petitions to and our needs to. So these same things that worked for Jeremiah will work for us. When he caught the glimpse of God's faithfulness, and he said, "Great is thy faithfulness." There are some things that we can do. Some areas in our lives of God's faithfulness. God proves his faithfulness, and we're going to look at those. First of all, God is faithful to forgive our sins. The Apostle John stated it clearly when he said in John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, ladies and gentlemen, personal failure can be both painful and dangerous. Personal failure can be troublesome. It can be dangerous. Personal sins can bring heartbreak and heartache. Personal sins can bring splitting up of families. Personal sins of adultery and fornication and different types of immoral sins can bring God's displeasure and can bring trouble to your heart, not only to your heart, but to your family, to your wife or your husband and your children and your grandchildren. Oh, as I look at America today and I see how many kids, they don't have parents to take care of them. They've been left to the breeze and left to a babysitter. They don't have anyone to train them up in the ways of the Lord, in the things of God. They're left to do their own thing. They're getting into trouble. And you look at the kids, and the kids will say, "Well, I don't have any parents. My parents are never home. They're always out working, or they're out in parties, and they're out in clubs, and they're out fishing. They're out doing everything under the sun. They don't have time for us kids." I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you got kids at home, you would be wise to spend all the time you can with those sons and daughters. It'll pay you great dividends instead of having heartache in the days to come. It'll pay you great dividends. God gave kids to the family, to the mom and dad. And God wants us to realize our position and our responsibilities. God is faithful to forgive our sins. Satan plays havoc with a troubled conscience. But the Holy Spirit leads us in our failure to the mercy of Mount Calvary. There we find the fountain that has been opened for all sin and uncleanness. You see, the conscience can smite you. The heart can smite you. The Spirit of God brings conviction and condemnation. And our heart is so condemning us that we have sinned, that we have done that dastardly thing, that horrible thing. We committed some sin, and maybe it's not something big, but something small, and maybe we've continued on and on and on to do that thing that we felt convicted of in our lives, and all of a sudden we've backed ourselves into a hole and into a cave somewhere, and we don't know what to do, but we're so convicted and we feel so bad. And it is a time when our minds are troubled. And in times like this, there are people who contemplate suicide. We saw this young 15-year-old girl just here recently committed suicide because kids at school, three girls and a boy, were hounding her every day and threatening her and cursing her and doing things, and she just couldn't take it anymore. The school wouldn't do anything about it. She went to different school members and different teachers and tried to tell about what was going on. And now, you know, there's a case. These kids, after the death of this girl, she killed herself. The kids are being brought up before the courts now for what they did to this girl. Folks, there's so much going on out there. Sister Barron and I were talking about this individual who had a beautiful family, a wonderful family, kids, and kids were grown. And all of a sudden, this woman decided to leave her husband. She decided to get her a girlfriend. And she got her a girlfriend, and we've talked to her. And she just came right out and said, "Yes, I have me a girlfriend, and I love her." And the kids are destroyed. They're heartbroken. They don't know which way to turn. And we pray for that individual that God would some way, somehow, bring them out of this pit, this condition that they are in, that's bringing reproach not only to their family, but to the kingdom of God and to the world. And America today is facing the onslaught of this sin that seems to be the most hideous of sins outside of abortion and taking our babies. The hardest sin, seemingly, that does the most damage. And that's what lets me know Jesus is getting ready to come, because as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's homosexuality. That's where we get the word sodomy. Sodom and Gomorrah, they went off after the flesh, men after men. That's why they came to the gates of Sodom, and they came to the door of Lot and said, "Send those men, those angels that came to Lot's house that night." The men of the city, from the oldest to the youngest, knocked on the door and said, "Send out those men that we may know them." In the Bible, when a man knew his wife, it meant he had a relationship, and she got pregnant. And he knew his wife, and she was with child. And these men of the city were saying, "Send these men out that we may know them." And Lot pleaded with them. He said, "I'll even give you my daughters if you won't do these men." You see, he sensed these were men of God. These were angels from the heavenly realm. And they wouldn't hear to that. They said, "This man came in to sojourn among us. He's a stranger, and yet he's trying to tell us how to act and what to do." And so they tried to break down the door to get in, but the angels just put a blind. I like that. Just zapped them good. If every homosexual in this country and around the world today would just be zapped for about 48 hours. God says, you get rid of your sin, I'll give you your eyesight back. Would you repent? We're used to seeing, aren't we? God is faithful to forgive our sins. I told you this story once before, but I felt like it was worth repeating. There's an illustration. When he was seriously ill, Martin Luther seemed to see Satan coming to him with a great scroll on which were written all of his sins. Looking at Luther with a triumphant smile, Satan unrolled the scroll and said, "There is no hope for you going to heaven, Luther. You can't go to heaven. Look at this list of all your sins that you've committed." And Martin Luther said that he looked at the long list, and it was all true. All of those sins were on that list that Satan had. Then it flashed through his mind that there was one thing missing. And he said with a loud voice to Satan, "The list is true, but one thing you have forgotten. That is, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin." Hallelujah. That's a good point to give God praise. Just quote the old enemy, the scripture. That's what Jesus did on the Mount of Temptation. He just quoted him scripture. And the devil cannot stand scripture. He can't stand the blood of Calvary. He can't stand the Son of God. And when Jesus just quoted him from Deuteronomy, I believe it's the 28th chapter, he just couldn't stand it. So the Bible said, and he left him for a while. Just put up an old Holy Ghost sign in your yard anywhere. You know, put that sign up. Amen. It may be a spiritual sign, but you put that sign up around. Let Satan find it. He'll find it. "You're not welcome here. I'm full of the Holy Ghost." He said, "Oh no, another one of those." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can't take it. He can't stand the power of the Word and the power of the Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. The second thing that we look at concerning unlimited faithfulness is that God is faithful to finish His work. He's faithful to forgive sin, and He's faithful to finish His work. Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He's what? He's faithful. What are we talking about this morning? God's faithfulness. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." You see, some Christians live in fear that they might fall in spite of their best efforts. They're so afraid they're going to fall into sin and not be able to make it. "God, I can't live it. It's too hard." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be afraid with God. There's no power on earth or in hell who can take you out of the hand of God. The only one who can do it is yourself. You choose. You make the choice that you're going to leave the protection of the hand of God. No power or principality or angel or no other creature. There's nothing today, the Bible said, who can separate us from the love of God. No power anywhere. Hallelujah. We are kept. I was reading where it said in the Bible in 1 Peter, we are kept by the power of God. Now, did you notice that little four-letter word? K-E-P-T. That's not K-P. Now, I've performed a lot of K-P. That's kitchen police, in case you didn't know it. I peeled a lot of taters. We are kept by the power of God. Folks, when I came across that and I read that, I thought, oh God, all of us, we're kept by the power of God. Can I get happy this morning? Can I run a little bit? Hallelujah! 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 I am kept by the power of the Word of God Almighty. Mama, mama, kasha, mama. I'm ready for the rapture to take place. Would you slip up your hands and worship the Lord a moment? Hallelujah. Now, you girls, quit laughing. When you get 68, you'll get a little winded too when you run a mile. Hallelujah. But I feel 40 this morning, so let me run. Hallelujah. I feel good. Praise the Lord. Are kept by the power of God. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Our lives are hid with Christ in God, Paul says. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. If you're taking notes, that's Colossians 3 and 3. You see, you can count on God's faithfulness. It's what he said here. Great is thy faithfulness. I looked up other scriptures that I didn't write down on the faithfulness of God. Over and over again, it talks about God's faithfulness to us. God's faithfulness to us. But we can depend on that faithfulness. Jesus asked, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? In Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 26. Is this not true? Life is more than what we put in the stomach, in the mouth and in the stomach. And it's more than the rags that we wear. Life is so much more than that. But since God gave you life, doesn't it follow that he will provide food to sustain you? And if God could create the marvelous human body, does it not seem simple enough for him to provide clothing for it? I don't see anybody naked here this morning. You'd have probably been ushered out if you'd come that way. But I don't see anyone without clothes. Your bodies are covered. You see, that's my Father. That's my God. He provided food for your breakfast this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, no, I worked hard and I made the money to buy that. You couldn't have if it hadn't been for God's favor. You wouldn't have had a job. You wouldn't have had health. You'd been laid up in bed someplace. Something else would have happened. But God gave you the strength and the job to make the money to buy your breakfast for this morning. He gave me cereal for breakfast today. That was good. And banana to go with it. And by the way, 3 cups of coffee. Well, you don't need to know how much I drink, but since it's out there. God's faithful. He's so faithful to us. And then the last point this morning. God is faithful to fulfill his promises. God stands behind his word. Hebrews 10:23. He is faithful that promised. He's faithful. If you're going through a struggle this morning, hear me. God seemed to be speaking to my heart this morning early. in talking to me about this message, and he seemed to impress me that there would be some here this morning who are weak in faith. Some this morning have gone through such trials and such burdens, and maybe family problems or work problems or financial problems, whatever it is. God just seemed to speak to my heart to impress upon you this scripture. God is faithful. God is faithful, and He will perform that which He promised. He will provide for you. Some of you have lost your loved ones. Sister Verda lost her husband not long ago. I lost my wife 3 years ago next month. Sister Barron lost her husband 12 years ago. And you've gone through these times and you wonder, Lord, it is so difficult. I don't know what to do. Have you been there? Have you been there? If you haven't, you will. There will come your time when you'll go through the valley of the shadow of death with one of your loved ones. But you see, God is saying, yea, though I walk, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You help me. You help this pastor. I've said this, and I hope you don't think I was trifling in saying this, and don't think I'm just saying this today, because I don't have any reason to be saying this other than to tell you that it is true, that you helped me through my loss. 4 hours from my nearest kids and 6 hours from the rest, and no family members here. And I lay in that bed, in that back bedroom over there, night after night after night for 16 months. But I found that God was near. Sister Ann, the tears would roll down my cheeks, and I didn't understand why. I don't know why. I'll only know when this life is over. I don't understand some things, but I know my Father, Abba, Father, He knows who I am and where I am. Verda, He knows where you are, sis. She lost Jean. I was looking, I think, over my notes in October. Was it October we had his funeral? He knows where you are and those financial struggles, the struggles with those children. They just don't seem to want to go right. Listen to me. You plant your foot in the cross. Plant your foot in the Word. Plant your foot in church. And just don't make any rash decisions, any quick decisions. I'm telling you this prophetically this morning and scripturally today. God promised you that He would meet you where you are. That He would meet you at the point of your need. He will see you through. And that's my God. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. The archangel Gabriel promised Mary when he came to her that day. He said to her, the Messiah would be conceived in her by the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he said, and Elizabeth would bear a son in her old age. Then he assured her these words, and it's in there. With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what the angel Gabriel said. Put your name in there today, where God is talking to you, to Mary. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Is it impossible? No. My God knows where you are. Just don't go running scared and of little or no faith. Have great faith in God. When God has given us His word, say with Mary, be it unto thy servant according to thy word, Luke 1 and 38. Do not be discouraged if your faith does not seem as strong as you would like it to be. Just rest in God's faithfulness. Rest in God's faithfulness. Trust His timing. You got to get these next few words that I want to say. Just trust His timing. His timing is not your time. His ways are not your ways. But His ways are what? So much higher than your ways. Listen to it. What seems like a difficult delay is part of divine design. What seems like God is delaying, in place of answering you today, it's part of His divine design. Believe me, He knows what's best. And He knows where we are. My word shall be fulfilled in their season, the angel said in the 20th verse when he was talking to Mary. He said, my word shall be fulfilled in their season. Put it up on there, brother. Luke 1 and 20. I think that's the scripture. God will make all things beautiful in His time. In His time. Not your time. Not my time. In His time. That's why I said, believe God. Walk in the will of God. Walk in the time of God. God will open doors that He wants open, and He'll close doors that He wants closed. Are you hearing me? I'm giving you some good instruction and advice this morning. And I can say this from 50 years of experience. God will open doors He wants open, and He will close doors that He wants closed for you. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. God was talking to the, what's his name? Huh? The cousin of Mary. Is her name Elizabeth? What's his name? Zechariah. Okay, the angel is talking to Zechariah when he appeared to him. Zechariah wouldn't believe. He said, what shall be the sign? And the angel said, this is it. You'll be dumb until the day that these things shall be performed. In other words, till the baby is born. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now he's saying, my words shall be fulfilled in their season. And to Mary, he could have said the same thing, but Mary believed and said, just be it unto me as you've said. Be it unto me as you've said. Yes? You can count on God's faithfulness. In closing, He is faithful to finish the work of grace He began in us. Just keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Do not doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. When the days and the nights are so dark, Sister Marta, don't you doubt what God has showed you in the light. No one who counts on God's faithfulness will ever be disappointed. No one. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the anointing. I thank you for the Spirit, for the power. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for the Word, O God. Shebiramonamo karandrabasativilos. Mancene me curama staveli poro custaras. Mancete levero pandra pakelelo paraseles. Shenero procura stasana. Yea, the Lord God will bring to pass that which He has spoken to your heart. Listen, saith the Lord, and be faithful to God, for He is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. This morning, while no one's looking around, hear me. This is a very sacred moment. Go ahead and play. If you're here this morning and you're going through a valley and you're going through a tribulation, we want to help you. We want to pray. I'd like for you just to stand and come to one of these altars. If you're one of those, you can say, but you're coming. That message was for me, Brother Barron. That word was for me. Would you do it? Don't be ashamed. God will help you if you'll come. God will help you. He will bless you. Because His word never returns unto Him void.
No way.
Come on, I feel like there's others. God just spoke to me early this morning.